Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love.
And this is Lana Love. Welcome to our show. Today, we have the first part of a very exciting series. Today, David and I become the love gurus. We thought we'd talk about relationships and love and how to find relationships and keep relationships.
Oh, one of the biggest topics I think anyone could ever bring up, one of the most challenging subjects, certainly Lana and I have experienced this firsthand. We've had a lot of fun in our relationship, and we've had our challenges just like everyone else, just because of life and what life hands you sometimes and what you get to deal with and what you've got to overcome in your relationship.
So relationships can be hard work, but it can also be very, very hard to actually find the right person to click with. And as we know, the quality of your life is very much dictated by the type of person that you meet, even though the Dalai Lama says you can be very happy by yourself. Mm-hmm. And these are things we're going to be considering today. We've got some people that are going to ring in on the show as well.
Yes, we've got Patrick McCormick and Rebecca, Cartron or Soul. He's been on our show in the past. He's an intergalactic being that's channeled by Patrick and Rebecca. He'll be on at the end of the hour just to give us an update on what's happening with Cartron and some upcoming conferences in Australia and Melbourne, Conscious Life Expo.
He might be able to tell us a little bit about romantic relationships with intergalactic beings. To know what that's like.
little out of my league, but certainly not out of Cartron's league as an intergalactic being. I'm very excited to have him. He's an excellent guest, so very humorous.
Oh, he is, yes.
And he's a kick. And we have... Alexandra actually popped in. Alexandra Midas of Galactic Connection. She's a really good friend of ours, and she's confirmed for next week.
That's going to be so good.
She's going to be talking about her time trying to save the rhinos and working with Michael Tollinger in South Africa. And we also have confirmed Sasha Stone from New Earth Nation, New Earth Project, coming up in a few weeks. So we're really excited about that. I know we have a lot of... people in our network who are members of New Earth Nation like we are and very interested in their work and what Sasha Stone's doing. And so
we've got some really, really exciting
Lana and I are also getting ready to launch our new project, Soul, which is the acronym for what we're doing. And so that'll be up and coming. So let's dive into finding your soul partner and love and what that's all about and
that's
how
right.
to make a quality life for yourself with a partner and
Yes, where do we begin? You know, something I wanted to talk about was the fact that this is so important and yet no one teaches it in school. Isn't it ridiculous we learn about maths and science and physics? They don't actually talk about how to find a good relationship, and yet this is one of the most important things to having a quality life.
It is, because we're not all academic. You know, our career is not who we are. I wrote in my book, Illusion of the Body, that we are whole people and that we have many areas of our life that need to be fulfilled and we need to be satisfied with, and that includes family, leisure time, social time, spirituality, certainly your romantic life. If you have one or you don't have one, or that part needs to be fulfilled just as much as your profession or your career. You
so
can't
why
neglect
do they,
that.
Why don't they teach this? And parents don't teach it? You know, it's basically finding the right partner is left to almost chance, ad hoc. And in fact, it's meant to almost not be quite cool to plan this out. It's meant to happen spontaneously, which is so silly. You wouldn't do that with your finances or your job, would
That's
you?
That's right. You put a plan together and you That's have right. your goals. You know what you don't want, what you do want, and all of those things it takes experience, it takes skills, you have to have that plan, and you have to have a plan to maintain a relationship skills in modern life, because it's so difficult. And
most people don't realize that, and mm-hmm. our society is really lacking them. So I guess what we are going to be talking today is, can you plan it? What can you do? Mm-hmm. And what is it that takes... what is it that is needed for you to be able to find a partner with whom you can really be fulfilled?
And this is interesting, you know, you saying that they should teach this in schools.
That's right.
And this is coming from a medical doctor and from a long time private detective, that we know how important this is. And
Yes, we have to completely reorganize the education system.
We both dealt with this in our personal career, trying to solve other people's problems and with their love lives and with their partnerships. You in psychotherapy and me with dealing with domestic disputes and child custody and infidelity issues. And so we know this firsthand. We know this in our own lives. So where do we start with this?
Well, let's start with love and what love is. And whether love is something that is only to be found with another person or whether it's something that's found deep inside of us.
And I said last night, I had heard from my higher power, my higher self, that everything you need is contained within you, that love is not in the world. The beauty that you see in the world is just a reflection of your inner self. It's all contained within you. The love you feel is something you're generating within you. So that love is within you. But then we come to the realization that, like with John Denver's, that song Annie, singing about a woman and using a metaphor
song
to compare her to you fill up my senses like a forest and a beautiful ocean. And he's seeing that in the world and he's seeing that in this woman. And yet it's really within himself that this is happening, that he's experiencing this. But without that outer world and seeing that in that other person and feeling that love in the world, I think it's difficult. It's that as within, so without. If you're not seeing it reflected back to you in the world, then you can't really feel it within yourself. And I went through this myself in my own awakening as I met people. And you don't really necessarily always feel loved unless somebody is expressing love to you. And it's a difficult thing because, as they say, you can't be successful in a loving relationship unless you have self-love. So there's a lot of interplay between the inner self and the outer world. And
well, there is. And, David, I don't think it's correct to say that love is just really inside of us or outside of us. I think it's both, as within, so without, and we are one. So, and connectedness.
And there's truth in that.
And the connectedness with the rest of the world, when you love somebody, that is almost a metaphor, a symbol of your connectedness with the world. But of course, it's very hard to do that unless you have love for yourself deep inside. And of course, then there's the other idea that love is a state of mind, not necessarily a relationship, a state of mind. What do you think about that?
I do believe that love is a state of mind, like all things. But also, I heard from, I've had this, my awakening was all about experiencing the goddess Aphrodite, Isis, whatnot. And I experienced that in a real way, and I've talked about this. And I also experienced that goddess of love, and I've experienced it with women in the world, like you, Lana, and love. I was told through synchronicity and just through direct messages from this higher source that relationships are what is important in the world, and it's important to put relationships first. And so love is very much a part of that. One of our past guests, Komani, who she talked about self-sustainable living, and she said love is a sustainable philosophy. It's a philosophy of life. It's bonding and it's binding. And
that's a good idea, to look at a relationship or love as something which is self-sustaining.
Right.
And green so love.
we need relationships. We need positive, healthy, quality relationships in life, because we are in life with other people. And so this is very important that we learn good relationship skills and we learn to find the right partner if that's what we choose to do. And we need to understand love. And I've been doing that in this life, and it is something that you experience. And I've been doing that more and more over time with everyone, with personal relationships and with you. And
So I guess we're sitting on the fence, aren't we? I don't agree with the Dalai Lama that really all you need is yourself. And again, maybe I do agree, but I guess it's very hard, I think, to be totally fulfilled without a very close relationship. But certainly, we recognize, and me as a therapist of many years standing, I recognize the fact that if you really have difficulty loving yourself, then it may be worthwhile spending time getting to know yourself and loving yourself before you dive into a relationship.
Agreed.
Maybe. Then again, it can be very lonely by yourself, and relationships can allow you to learn to love others and yourself. Mm. So true. I guess it's a balance, but it does involve loving yourself, and it does involve connecting with that state of mind called love. I think it's important for people to understand that. And I think it's also really reassuring and inspiring, especially for singles or people that have broken up or divorced or widowed, that love is a state of mind and not necessarily dependent on another person.
True. Very good point. I do agree with that, that we do have everything contained inside of us that we need. And I think that's what the avatars like Buddha and Jesus were doing with asceticism, which is the giving up of things and the letting go of things in the world and going out into the wilderness and being by yourself and fasting and doing all of those things just to prove to the world and prove to themselves that you are a whole being within yourself, and you have the God source within yourself, and you have the love of the universe within yourself. And they certainly had relationships, but it was interesting that these masters, Buddha left his marriage, and what he had to say about...
What a jerk!
I bet it's why, you know, we talk about Buddha as being the most enlightened being on the planet, or Jesus, or whoever. I know that they were angry people. Jesus was a social antagonist, a political antagonist.
Well, he wasn't that angry, was he?
He actually was, and a lot of people didn't like him back then. The people in power certainly didn't like him.
Oh,
and
dear.
He was an angry person at times. He was a human being. He was the son of God, they say. Hmm. We're all the sons of God, and we're all made in the Creator's image.
And daughters.
But this is not this certainly isn't a religious debate, and I don't get into that anyhow. But anyhow, this is just about the spiritual masters, the avatars, the ascended masters, and relationships and marriages and personal relationships. And it was difficult for them. And I think it's much easier to be the guru on the mountaintop in a temple meditating your whole life, being like a hermit and not being active in relationships. And I think you do learn, it's important to have that time alone, that time to reflect, but you do need to come back to society. And whether or not you have a romantic relationship, which I think is nice, it's important to be in the world and be in relationships and be active. And we are mirrors of each other, and so we learn from each other, and we are teachers and students of life for each other. And so this is really important to our personal growth and our spiritual evolution. Mm. And I think you can learn a lot from being in a romantic partnership and finding your soul partner or your soulmate or your twin flame or whatever label you want to give to that. I think you can really, whether or not it's successful in the long term or in the, you know, or it ends abruptly, you will learn a lot from your romantic partners.
Yeah, okay. So I guess the idea is that not necessarily will everything be, you know, happy happy forever when you meet your soulmate. You might actually go into and have some of the hardest times of your life potentially. So having a really good soulmate doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be at peace, because personal growth involves a lot of difficulty sometimes.
Yes, and that's my choice in philosophy, is the personal growth school of life philosophy, and I do enjoy, and you don't have to accept that, but people listening, but it's a nice one for me that's worked for me. And this isn't necessarily all about happily ever after. I'm a advanced past life regressionist, so I do believe in reincarnation, and I do believe in getting the lessons in this life, and I do believe in spiritual evolution. And so maybe, I don't know, if you find your soulmate, do you stay with that person for this entire life or successive lives? I don't know how long that goes on. I do know from you, Lana, that we talk a lot about non-attachment. We talk a lot about not attaching to the outcomes, not attaching to the person. But it's nice to have those healthy, positive relationships, and it's really hard to not have attachments in life. But you want to not be so absorbed into the material world and into your relationships and the situations that go on that you become owned by them or become part of it, and to the point that you lose yourself in the relationship.
Yeah, so it's a balance, isn't it? It's being dependent on someone is not a good idea.
Yeah,
so finding your own independence, your own sovereignty, the love you have for yourself is so important. And then when you go into a relationship, it's more like, I like to think of it as flowing like a river, so that you don't attach You don't worry about someone leaving. You don't worry about things in the future. You try to flow along with life. And you can love a person, but being overly attached is not such a good idea, because unfortunately that person can die, can leave, anything can happen. And so it's about, I guess, living in the moment and finding the security of insecurity, if you like. That's sort of a Buddhist concept. But anyway, look, we're getting very metaphysical here. Let's talk about the single scene.
One more thing. That I just want to mention that when you mentioned security, that we have to know that love is always there, that love is in the universe, and that love is always within us, and that people will die. And I've worked in hospice. My father passed away recently, and relationships will end. But that love is always there, and you have to know that and feel secure with that knowledge that everything is going to be okay, and that there are going to be hard times. And I like to say that life is hard, but it's not that serious, because someday you will die, who knows when. So just be happy. Know that you can be happy, because you're the one that's creating that happiness, and adjust your circumstances accordingly in your relationships and in everyone else. Know that if one thing ends, another thing will begin. And so
those are very wise words, David. Beautiful. And that goes back to the idea that love is a state of being. And I guess love is what keeps us in the universe. It's the energy around us. It's the chi force. And that, if people remember that, then it becomes so much less anxiety-provoking when you think about trying to find love.
Okay. Now, we do need to move. I think it's really important that we talk about how to find your soulmate, or what a soulmate is, or what a twin flame is to us. And Lana and I, you know, we've become part of the tantric community, and we've had tantric teachers on our show in the past recently, and we've had a lot of experience with that and what Tantra is all about. And that was a good way for us to get into this.
So I guess you and I are very much focusing on the spiritual part of romantic love.
We talk about tantric magic. We talk about tantric meditation. And we've recently experienced, you know, the love of the universe flowing through us as love channelers, which I thought was really interesting not too long ago, because I know what it's like to do Reiki healing and as a Reiki therapist, and but to actually experience not the goddess of love connecting with me, but this conscious love flowing through us. This energy.
It's a great concept, isn't it? Yeah. And you can really feel this energy flowing through you.
This living, loving energy, channeling it and being it, and that being part of our relationship on such a higher level. And it was very brief, but it was good. And so this is what we're striving toward. And this is what we discovered in the tantric community. So there's many ways to find your partner, your soulmate. A soulmate, I believe I've met many soulmates. Actually, one of the first people I met as a soulmate was Alexander Meters, who's going to be on our show next week, is Galactic of galacticconnection.com. And she talks a lot about twin flames, actually, and twin souls. And
so maybe we need to talk about what a soulmate is, because it's not necessarily a romantic relationship.
No.
I think there are many soulmates out there. I see a soulmate as someone with whom you feel very close to, where the vibration is almost the same. You know, you feel you really understand that person.
I saw Alexandra and she has a husband, of course. I see her as a soulmate, but in a professional relationship. And she was somebody that I discovered I may have worked with in ancient Egypt in the past. You know, that's my belief. And
They say that we're reincarnated in different soul groups.
Soul tribes or star tribes or whatever. Yeah, and it's an interesting concept. So there are many soulmates. And not all of them may be appropriate, I think, for a relationship. They bring relationships to a higher level, and they can be very challenging, because a lot of it has to do with personal growth and maybe resolving issues and from the past. And so those are difficult relationships. And
so, you know, I think one of the first steps towards finding a really good soulmate romantic relationship is maybe to start off with just finding soulmates, whether it's the same sex, opposite sex, just being able to connect with people that are on the same vibrational frequency.
Yes, being active, finding, going out, you've got to be active, because being a wallflower or being on the bench will not, if you want to find a partner, a romantic partner, that's very difficult to do from your home.
But you also have to know yourself.
You do. I was just going to say that. You just read my mind. You do have to know yourself. You have to know your own thoughts and feelings, your own beliefs and values.
And you have to know what gets you interested, what gets you passionate. So it's going out is important. Of course, you're not going to, very unlikely to meet your soulmate sitting at home, although I have heard of some people who have met their soulmate when the plumber walks in the door.
Sure.
That was it.
Sure.
But getting to know what it is that really makes you tick, because if you go to groups or in interest groups or various other functions that are around what is interesting to you, you're going to meet people that have the same interests as you, the same vibrational level, and you're much more likely to find someone who's compatible with you.
And compatibility as far as beliefs, values, and interests goes, that's a first step. That does not mean that you're going to have a successful long-term relationship with somebody who shares similar interests and values and beliefs.
But it's a very useful start.
But it's a good start. And also we need to realize that you have to actually be in that relationship, and you have to test out that relationship to really know whether it's going to work. So you have to get the impression on that person, and it's difficult. You have to actually be brave enough to go into it.
So, but the first thing is you do have to be active.
Yes.
And you do have to tell yourself again and again and again that it's possible to find someone with whom you have a very good compatibility. And I know nowadays there seem to be more singles than ever before.
Mm.
And certainly in Australia, there's many more women than men. So some Australians have to revert to importing.
We can talk about, Lana and I, I had met a lot of people, and I was just, had been on a lot of radio shows. We actually sort of met through Alexandra in a way. I had been on Alexandra's show years ago, and I reconnected with her, and I thought, I want to meet somebody as I went along meeting people and just socializing with women and men and realizing that
you got to know what traits you like in other people that you would be compatible in a romantic relationship.
Yes.
Very good.
But I certainly was never intending to get into a romantic relationship or even with you. But as I got along, I thought, now I really need to be happy, and I really need to take charge of my life and go for what I want after my father died. And we talk about this in our video series that's coming out, what we're talking about. But I got to know you and finally said, this is a really interesting person. I think I need to really move on with my life. And I said, and I met you, we talked quite a bit, and we were talking for 3 months, I think. And at the end, I said, I think this could be something that could work for both of us. And so it was a funny thing to come from halfway around the world and not know what's going to happen getting here, not ever having been in Australia and coming to a new culture. And it's certainly different here. Men and women operate differently here, and relationships are different here. And I didn't know you. So
we took
a chance.
Yeah. Well, we met through they are beginning to say that a lot of internet relationships may be more successful than other relationships, because people actually get to know one another, what they're interested in, and other things. And that can only happen first if someone's overseas, before people rush into the romantic side of things. And actually getting to know a person is very important. And I think the single most thing that people can really look out for to test whether someone's likely to be a compatible partner is how they make you feel about themselves.
True, because it always comes down to a feeling oftentimes.
You made me feel really good about myself, and hopefully I made you feel good about you.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, I think, and then we'll come back to
the drilling has just started here, the construction work. Of course this would happen during the rating.
As things do in life.
Okay, so we'll take a break now with a romantic song. And we'll be back soon to talk about other things
to do with songs. We'll let our excellent producer pick something cool, a really romantic song to put on, and we'll be right back in about 5 with some more
soulmate
talk. Yeah.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love.
Welcome
this
back.
Is Lana Love.
And David Love.
And today we're talking about love.
We're talking about soulmate relationships.
That's right.
Finding your partner.
So this is part one of the Love Guru series. So David, I wanted to talk a little bit more about all the singles out there actually setting their intention to meet someone who's really compatible. I think that's really important, to actually set the intention.
Certainly is.
And I want to talk about law of attraction.
Okay, what I would quickly say about that is when you go out looking for someone, like Lana said, know yourself. In doing that, be aware of what you don't want in a partner if you've had negative experiences in relationships in the past, but focus on what you do want in a long-term successful relationship if that's what you're looking for. There's a big difference when it comes to law of attraction between those two.
Mm.
And know your, be confident and know your insecurities about relationships when you go into it. That way you're going to be successful because you're aware of yourself.
So it's once again that the whole idea is that relationships are so important, actually very important to invest time in this, to think about it, actually write a list of qualities that you want, even if, you know, you can't find perfect 100% Mr. Right, but you know the qualities that you're actually looking for. Are you looking for someone extroverted or introverted with certain interests, you know, certain qualities? However, you also shouldn't be attached to that. Once again, the Buddhist concept of non-attachment.
Yeah, so
you know what you want, but then if you do meet someone who doesn't have all of those traits, you don't have to be so attached to that idea and so inflexible that you don't try someone out if the vibe is right.
That's because it's that expectation, because we have to know that as we get older, of course, we've had negative experiences and we're going to bring our baggage and our issues into these relationships. So You've got to know what your issues are going into it. You've got to know the other person's. And the most important thing, more important than compatibility, is that know whether or not, once you get to know that person a little bit, can I work with this person? Can I be successful with this person? Can that person be successful with my personality? Can that person take on my issues? What am I willing to take on once I've met Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright, if that's what you're looking for and that you believe this person is that one?
So once again, getting back to that wonderful, wonderful way of telling if someone's compatible, but how that person makes you feel about yourself.
Mm.
So, but they're going back to even before then. So actually setting the intention on meeting someone who's very compatible, writing a list of the traits you like, thinking about where your passions lie and making sure that that's where you spend time on. And, you know, also setting symbols up in your own house. I've read about feng shui and various other things that you can do in your home to actually give you a sense that you will be part of a couple. And that's something that's very hard for people that have been single for a long time.
Mm.
You know, I've even heard of, you know, powerful things you can do, such as making sure that the bedside table on the other side of the bed is empty, waiting for someone to move in.
True, true.
Putting up statues of loving couples, putting up hearts, you know, already being in the space of being in a loving relationship. And that's
meditate on the goddess of love
or
whatever.
That's right.
Whatever it is.
And actually seeing yourself in a relationship before it happens, because it's inside of us where reality actually happens first.
We are creating it. We're creating
our
future outcomes.
We do. So I remember listening to a very powerful tape series on this, and they were talking about the fact that where it actually happens first is inside of us.
Mm.
In fact, you can connect with your future soulmate on an almost ethereal, spiritual level. You can have that connection. Do you understand what I mean? Have you ever had that? I had that. I actually focused on having a connection with my soulmate before I met you, and it's almost like feeling your way through, I guess, spiritual connections amongst, you know, people in the world. You know, they say that our unconscious is all connected.
Well, it is.
We're much more connected than we think we
are. The theme of my book, Illusion of the Body, was about panpsychism, which is the philosophy of oneness, that all things have consciousness, all things, even the inanimate things, the non-physical universe. But for me, everything does happen on the spiritual level, on the spiritual plane, and on the inner plane, whichever way you want to look at that. Because for me, the union of the divine union of the genders of Mars and Venus, Aphrodite and Aries, the twin soul or the twin flame is about Mars and Venus, and it's about this people coming together on the earth plane is about Mars and Venus coming together on the spiritual plane.
And the masculine and the feminine balance each other out.
Right.
So even though you're a sovereign being in your own body and you have masculine and feminine in everyone has that, the coming together of a man and a woman. And, you know, the gay couple, if you're gay.
Sure, whatever.
That union of two people, somehow that creates an incredible power.
Powerful energy, much
That's
more
right.
powerful than one.
That's
two heads
right.
are better than one. And,
That's
and
right.
that is why Mars and Venus, as I look at it, that's a very powerful union.
Absolutely. Now, Patrick's with us now. That's very exciting. Shall we ask him to join us?
We've got Cartron and Rebecca coming on.
So just to introduce Patrick. That he channels Cartron.
He's an intergalactic being. We've had him on our show in the past. He's very interesting. I'm not sure he can come on and just give us his updates.
Okay.
Let us know what's going on.
Well, let's invite him in.
Yes, it's me. How are you guys doing?
Hi.
Hi, Patrick.
How's everything?
Good, good. Are you Patrick at the moment or Cartron?
No, Cartron has an English accent. That's the one he chose because he figured that's the most gentle personality to take over the planet with.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
You have a soulmate, don't you? Rebecca is your soulmate?
Well, actually, you know, we're working together. You know, soulmate is such a relative terminology.
Yes.
I think, it's like different gradations, and it's interesting that you're choosing that now because there's so many different considerations when you think about relationship in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we just talked about that before, soulmates are not necessarily romantic relationships, but it's someone with whom you feel that same vibration.
Yeah. Like I have professional relationships with many soulmates and within our soul tribe. Certainly you are within our soul tribe or star family or soul family. We like to, you know, the
Absolutely.
People in our network that we work with regularly like you, Patrick. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, you know, Sagittarius just started. I think it was Saturn in Sagittarius just started, and it's going to be a 2.5 year thing about migration, expansion, different peoples coming together on the planet. So it's going to be quite a cycle coming up for a while.
So exciting.
Well, a love cycle?
And what was that?
A love cycle? Are you saying that a lot of
people
are going...
No, actually, migrations of peoples to different countries, and also about getting, you know, we're completing on one level of one type of relationship, and then there's this whole other thing, and it's interesting that Cartron talks about how we are migrating away from more of the organic connection to the soul level.
Oh, right. And that's, Lana and I talk a lot about that, about our relationship being about the world, you know,
And on the soul level.
And it is because of this soul family or whatever, you know, that with working with people like Patrick and Cartron and Rebecca, it's...
And certainly when you have a relationship with someone on a soul level, it's so much more meaningful.
It happens on many levels, and this is why we call it universal soul love.
And, of course, when we talk about universal soul love and forming perhaps in the future self-sustainable communities, the inspiration there is that a society, community can come together in a soulful way, so much deeper.
Yeah. And so, Patrick, you're coming to Australia.
Yes, I am. And that'll be May 1st to 3rd at the New Earth Conscious Living Festival in Melbourne.
Wow, it's exciting. And we're going to try to work with you to see if we can be there as well.
Sounds fantastic.
It's really exciting. Really exciting. We're going to really try to connect with you here and try to make something happen. I believe Alexandra may be coming here as well to help us with a project. So we'll see how it all turns out. You know, no attachment to the outcome, but we're really pushing for this to make this happen.
Yeah, it's a wonderful adventure of the several unknowns. So as far as we can take it, and we just go from there.
And this is coming up quick. We seem to do everything, just on the, we're always on the edge of things, but it does make life exciting. We love working with you, Patrick. You get a really high energy. The people in our network are fantastic. We have a lot of fun.
David and Lana, that energy is actually increasing. It's becoming quite a very interesting thing compared to the contrasting vibrations that are also coming up on the planet. It's just like, what are the connection that people want? They want the deepest one. So a soul connection on that level, a spiritual, emotional, and physical, but also that really deep connection to source.
I feel that. Yeah, that's true. And it's funny how, you see these, I like to say, dark forces building up in the world every hour by hour, almost the craziest things that are happening in the world. It seems like, but at the same time, the light and the love are also expanding. So,
Magic, yeah. I'm wondering whether, because we're focusing on romantic relationships and soulmate love today, would you prefer to speak as Patrick, or would Cartron also, Cartron being an intergalactic being, I have no idea whether they have romantic relationships or not.
it's interesting, the relationship that a being from the essential realm, like in the center of the galaxy where the essential societies are, basically, they don't have bodies until they need them. So that takes a whole new level or dimension of relationship. And so Cartron's view on this is very interesting, and the whole essential thing, because he doesn't have an emotional body, but he's been studying the human situation for, since 94, actually for 10,000 years, and came in 94. So his connection with all of that is what his findings are, as kind of like an outside guardian that comes in and just observes humanity as a species.
Oh, I see. So you say he hasn't got an emotional body. So is he sort of like a Dr. Spock?
Well, you could ask him that if you do want him to come on, because he could then explain what an emotional body is in relation to the quantum field.
Well, we're wanting to focus on romantic relationships, and so I'm not sure whether it would be best to focus with you, you can tell us about your experiences, or whether Cartron might want to tell us a little bit about whether intergalactic beings have a gender and whether they have those sort of relationships.
Well, either or, it's all good. And I'm feeling like Rebecca may be coming on soon. I don't know if she's on yet.
Rebecca. I want to add quickly that myself, when I was going through my psychic awakening, I told Lana this, I had an experience with Aphrodite or the divine feminine essence. And I was actually told, me and my higher self were told that she couldn't have, as a spiritual being or as an energy, have a relationship with a human being. And so I actually... this is what I experienced, that I had, in order to have a relationship with the higher being, I had to have it as a human being with Lana. And it's really interesting. And it's exactly what you said. So it's almost like my higher self and my body having a relationship with who I believe is the goddess of love in Lana's body. So I just try not to say something, but,
Okay. Well, maybe I'll do chill.
That's
so interesting, because the vibrational relationship, but the vibrational differences would be very detrimental to organic life if the energy is too high, or it could literally, because the organic life operates in a polarized field, whereas the unified field comes in and it can be so bright, it can literally be way too much and overcook the meat and the mold of the human.
I guess it could be overwhelming to have the divine feminine essence sort of coming right at a human being like that. That was quite an experience for me too.
But I guess what I'd like to know is whether spiritual beings do have a gender. I mean, obviously, we talk a lot about the goddess.
I say they don't have a gender, because consciousness has no gender, but it chooses gender. But okay, we'll let Patrick handle this one.
Do you know, Patrick?
Yummy. See, I have not actually entertained that much of an emotional construct myself, because in 1987 was when I first landed in this body. So I'm not the original resident or domicile. And so it was this whole thing about, wow, do I really open up emotionally? Because there's different levels of emotional constructs. On one level, you can have the collective universal emotion, but on the other level, you can have an individual emotional experience that you can immerse yourself in. But then you get, it's so much easier to get tossed about, you know, by those energies, because, you know, there's so much going on in that emotion or energy and motion field that we have. And oh my God, it's just an interesting adventure, like a roller coaster sometimes.
Mm, for sure.
Yes. Absolutely. Was Rebecca going to join us?
Let's see. Hi. Rebecca, are you on?
Yeah, I'm on.
Oh, hi, Rebecca.
Are you able to hear me? Hi,
yes.
How are you?
Welcome to Universal Soul Love. Nice to have you back.
Hi. Thank you. Nice to be back.
We're focusing on romantic soulmate relationships today.
Yeah, we only got a few minutes left, but
we're very happy that you could join
us.
We're
very happy. We're having a good show and a good time with Patrick. So,
just wondering what your view might be about romantic soulmate relationships and in the human body and in the spiritual world.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's interesting because I do the integrated energy therapy, the cellular memory healing, and within that fourth and fifth strand of DNA is that soul group where those soulmates that they reside, like the soulmates that come into your life, the twin flame, on that fifth strand of DNA that we kind of hang out with them, you know, before we incarnate. And, yeah, it's really fascinating.
Oh, really? Yeah, so you're saying that soulmates actually are specifically on DNA strands?
So, yeah, they have a cellular biological connection.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah. And even the fourth strand works with what's called the genetic soul profile. Yeah, it's almost like it is the literally soul family, you know, how they call it the soul family.
So that would account for physical attraction, I think.
Yeah, it might. I wonder in the future when human civilization becomes, when our technology improves, maybe instead of trying to be in the singles scene for years, maybe we can all put our chromosomes in a machine. They can sort out sort out the soulmates.
Get the gene pool cleaned up a little bit there. I guess we better allow you to just give us any updates that you and Patrick have and just sort of sum this all up, finish up, and give us your website and, you know.
Yeah, about Melbourne, first on the list, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. Patrick, are you still there?
Yes, I am. But Rebecca, he's asking you, what's the latest update with Cartron and Sully and the whole thing and what's going on?
Oh, gosh. It's been kind of nonstop. It started last year, and it's been a nonstop journey. Road trips, events. Actually, and this is our first one. We were scheduled to work together to be together in Key West at an event. And I'm actually going to be tuning in from up in Pennsylvania. But usually we do them together, and they're amazing. We do all sorts of different things. We just kind of tune in. And sometimes it unfolds in the moment as the broadcasts are on. We'll get, you know, the downloads will come in right in that moment. And it's just been really powerful, really amazing. A lot of rapid acceleration. The energy is usually really high. Yeah.
The paradigm shift
and
is
then,
rapid.
We were invited to Melbourne for the expo, and then I believe there will be one in Sydney and one in Perth. And, yeah, so that's
are you going to be at all of those? At Sydney, Perth, and Melbourne?
What will happen is that if it works really well in the first Melbourne one, May 1st to 3rd, then we'll be very happy to do that. So we always do a litmus test on it. Like right now we're doing a Destiny broadcast to raise resources, a series of things to help people find their destinies. And these are the broadcasts that happen every week. And Cartron 1, the number one on Facebook, is the place to find out information about that.
Okay. All right. Well, then.
Well, Australia is certainly the place to be, then.
It certainly is. This is a happening place for spirituality and spiritual events. And
now we've got 60 seconds left, so yeah. We're unfortunately going to have to say goodbye. We'll have another series on the love gurus and looking at and talking about love. But for now,
yes.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much for coming on our show, Patrick and Rebecca. It's been great having you on here and a lot of fun. And this is a very casual, you know, interview that we do. We're very relaxed here, so
lovely to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Next week we have Alexander Meters of galacticconnection.com, a good friend of ours, very well known for conspiracies and different things and Galactic Federation.
So stay tuned. Hey, goodbye from Universal Soul Love.
Bye for now. Thank you.